appreciate you sharing that song with us, because it does fit so well with where I'm headed today. Okay, and how many equate the idea of God and power? How many? You do that? Raise your hand if you do. Equate God and power. You know, it's really not that hard once we become a Christian to equate those two things together, is it? I mean, he spoke the world into existence. You know, he said, let there be light. Bam, what happened? It came racing out of his mouth at whatever the speed of light is. I forgot what it is. And it hadn't stopped since. That's pretty big power, right? Been consistent at the same time. Same speed from the day he said, let there be light. It's been light. And guess what? It's been traveling at, let's just give it a number. I forget the number. Anybody know it? Thank you, Joe. How many knew that? I at one point I knew that, but my brain is not there. That it's consistent. It's been that way forever since he said it. Whew. That is pretty amazing. That's our God, isn't it? Okay. I want us to continue down the path of this magnificent portrait that's being painted for us. And I'm trying to address through seven sermons or seven messages on our position and practice that we find in the Word of God. And I'm trying to deal with this whole idea of God is the one that holds the paintbrush. Yeah. It's not me. I'm not painting my own life. See, God has the paintbrush. And his first stroke that we talked about last week was dealing with the seven benefits that being in Christ brings to the table. I mean, benefits like, I am blessed. Somebody say amen. Are you blessed? Man, I'm blessed. Guess what? It's more than that. I'm chosen. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I have an inheritance. I am going to live with him forever and ever in eternity. Praise be to God. And guess what? All of my benefits are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise be to God. And what the Holy Spirit seals, who can unseal? See, God, the Holy Spirit, seals. Who can unseal? That's what I love about it. Otherwise, we'd all be in big, big danger, don't you think? For people that run around and say that they can just unseal it and lose it, it's very challenging for me. Because at what point do you feel like you're ever saved or not saved? I mean, how do you fade in and out of that idea? So anyway, that's my whole point. Okay? But thanks be to God, he revealed the mystery to you and I. See? To you and I, because we are believers in Jesus Christ. And so that was the first message of being, what does it mean to be in Christ? The second, that's the first stroke on the canvas. In Christ. Whoa! And there were benefits of being Christ. Can you imagine? See, if God speaks out light at the speed of, does it ever slow down? Has it ever sped up? It's all the same, right? If he can do that, and the very first stroke is this idea of being in Christ, guess what the second stroke has to be? If I am in Christ, my friend, his power is on display. See, as we go through the creation, what do we see? We see the power on display, don't we? When we go, the centurion goes to Jesus and says, I've got a sick servant, and you know, you just say the word. And Jesus goes, I've not seen anything like this. Because why? He believes in the power of the Word of Christ. It can change, it can heal, it can just completely restore his servant. And so, his power on display. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't normally go walking around, and when I walk up to meet somebody, I say, I'm here to let you know that I'm God's power on display. But yes, you are. See? Why? Because if I'm in Christ, the first stroke, the second stroke, it's I'm in Christ, His power is on display. Do you see the two connected? Can you sense what I'm trying to say here? Is that because the mere fact that you're in Christ, all of these things, these benefits have been wrapped up into who you are, and you are a believer in Jesus Christ. In Christ. Therefore, because of that, now you become His power on display. That's awesome. And I pray you can walk through this with me a little bit today. Because I think many people today live every day kind of disconnected from life, almost just kind of moving through routine. They seem to be powerless. And if I said name something that's full of power other than God and all the words related to Christianity and that thing, if I just said name something that's powerful, what would you name? Electricity, powerful. Be careful how you touch it. Hurricane, tornado, powerful, right? What else? How about some people might call the government powerful, the president powerful, the world leaders powerful. You're the most powerful man on the planet, you know? I mean, have you ever heard anybody call the president that? You're the most powerful man on the planet, or armies, or those types of things. But I'm going to tell you something. No matter how powerful a tornado appears, or a hurricane, no matter how powerful a government might think they are, or a military, or even the world's strongest man, it's got an 8-pack, and you know, do the pose. No matter how strong and mighty and how they appear to have power, that power is of this earth. It's of this world. When we accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross, let me tell you what the brushstroke is. We gain access to a source of power that is beyond our comprehension. In other words, it's not of this world. Come on, people. Woo! Listen to the way this particular version says it. I love this, and we'll read it again in New King James Version. This is ESV, and it says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe?" See, in this world, we have ways to. Hey, it's a F4. What am I talking about? Tornado, right? You know, He's the President of the United States of America. What am I talking about? A strong man, a powerful man, right? He can lift 700 pounds with a squat. What am I talking about? See, it's all about the power of man and this world and what we've created here, isn't it? It's not talking at all about God's power at all. And God's power is not just, listen, it's not just potential power. You know how the Bible says God is love? I love to be able to say, my God is power. My God is power. Think about it. You see, it's not He has the potential to be power. And I've seen a little bit of power here and there with our God. I'm talking God is power. He puts real definition to it. Now, God's, most of the time, I think, is not, His power is not displayed in the same way we think of when we talk in terms of world power. The word power here is dunamis. It's in the Greek. And, it's the same word we get the word dynamite from. So the root word of dunamis is the idea of some amazing display of power. And so we get the word dynamite from it. So some guy, when I was growing up, had a famous line that he, or word that he always said, dynamite! Right? Well, that's kind of the way our God is. Any way you can extrapolate the word dynamite, that idea, explosive, amazing, uncomprehendable power, our God is that. And in His power is the power that brought life from death. Whoa, what? Yeah, life from death. And He took a man that was shaped from dirt. That's what we are. We're shaped and formed from dirt. I mean, think about it. And He breathed life into a living, to that particular body of dirt. I mean, I hate to call you dirt today, but I'm just saying, you know, breath was breathed into us by the power of God. There were what? You want to come preach? Are you going to let me preach? Okay. I believe that God's life, His DNA, also passed into who we are. So that means that we have the capacity of God's power within us. That's why when we are, first breaststroke is what? In Christ. What's the second one? His power on display. See? So all of that matters. This is very, very important that we get that it's amazing. And all the power is at our disposal. I think that's where he was headed with this. Listen, it stands ready to enable us to overcome temptation through his power. Right? So his power is on display when we overcome temptation. Amen? What about his being able to fight off depression? Is his power on display? See? And it tries to take over our minds. And if we can, through the power of God, overcome that, take every thought captive from our body, that is his power on display in me. To stand victorious as the troubles of life tend to overwhelm us, we stand victorious. Again, it's his power on display in us. But I want to tell you that unless we engage his power, that power I'm talking about, dunamis, we're just about as good as a bladeless lawnmower. Has anybody ever pushed a bladeless lawnmower? Here we go. Whoa, let me go back over that. Whoa, let me go back over it again. In other words, no result. The bladeless lawnmower will not cut the grass. My friend, we have to have the blades engaged. We have to be moving forward. We have to be trusting God as he throws that brush of in Christ, and then he comes back right back with his power on display. I personally want to be a person other people see that God's power's on display. Are you with me? I want people to see that. Now, I can't force people to see it, nor can I manufacture it. But let me say that as internally as he changes who I am, that display will become obvious. It will show up in my countenance. It will show up in my excitement. It will show up in what I say, what I believe, what I stand for, what I am going to be every day. People will say, "What's wrong? You're different. What's going on?" I'm in Christ and his power is on display. That's what's on. See? And our countenance becomes the signage for that. As the Holy Spirit just moves in us and changes us, and there's so much that happens. Amen? All right, so three reasons. I want us to talk about this real quick. Three reasons we should engage his power. You'd think it would just be obvious why we should do that, okay? But we need to. to engage His power. And if you feel like your life is more like the bladeless lawnmower, then I want you to really listen and pay attention to this and get a hold of it, because this is the second brushstroke, if you will, that God is doing. It says this. First of all, His power is unmatched. There is no one, nothing, any manufacturer of H-bomb, atom bomb, I'm dating myself, nuclear bomb, nuclear whatever. Nothing can match the dunamis power of God. Nothing. Now listen what it says in the New King James Version. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Number one, His power is unmatched, is that He raised Him from the dead. Now listen, there was a corpse. There was a corpse. First He was hanging on a cross, and then He was wrapped like a mummy, and then He was placed in this grave. He was beaten, He was tortured, He was stabbed with a sword. He was dead by any definition of the term dead. Yet by the power, the dunamis of God, in just a few days, Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and He was walking, talking, breathing, completely whole and completely healed. And I think the resurrection is unquestionably our God's power, dunamis, on display. Would you say yes to that? Dunamis on display. How else could you describe that? Man couldn't do it. Man can't resurrect. No. Only God can. So it's unmatched. Secondly, it says that He was seated at the right hand. Okay? He seated Christ at the right hand of God. Now, Christ left His heavenly throne to begin with in order to accomplish salvation for you and I, the redemption of man, the paid in full stamp that lays on my heart now. After raising Christ from the dead, the Bible says God exalts Him to the right hand. In other words, to the highest place of honor. Who has the power to do that? The dunamis power. Only our God. Right? Then it says that He put all things under His feet. Now this is more than restoration of Christ's position. It's also meant that He has power over all things. Are you with me? So the rule of Christ is even now over all things, including His enemies and everything is seen, unseen, in the heaven and on the earth. Everything that comes into our lives is under Christ's power. The good, the bad, the past, the present, and even the future. This is what I love about it, is it's not just that He somehow paid for our sin. There's so much more involved in this stroke of the power of God on display, that He now is in charge of all things. The Bible says even things that exist today is held by His hand. Think about it. Enjoy that's the Christ that your redemption is found in. He gave Him to be head over all things to the church as well. Now I love this for our sake. We come together as the body of Christ. And sometimes we forget that get a hold of who the head is of the church body. It's not me, it's not you, it is Christ. Everybody say it, it's Christ. See? In other words, He has the power, dunamis, and the authority over the church. He has the power over our lives together in the church. As we come together to grow, we must allow Jesus Christ, the head, to take care of everything. Now listen, I have my role to play, you have your role to play, but let me tell you one thing about leadership. You have to believe that Christ is the head. The leadership is doing the best they know how to do to step through the process the church goes through. We're doing the best we can. Listen, we make mistakes. Here's what you have to believe. You have to believe in the power on display of God, so much so that if leadership makes a slight misstep, guess what? God has a way to correct that. As long as their hearts are right, you have nothing to fear. You don't have to worry. If their hearts are solid and right with God, God's going to nudge them back and do whatever He needs to. You know, He may dig a pothole and He can go, whoa, we're in the wrong spot. We need to move over this way. Listen, it is arguably the hardest thing in the world to try to lead all volunteer people that think they know more than you know. I can't tell you how hard that is. It's hard. And what we can do is do the best we can do. That's it. We can do with prayer and supplication and interceding for you and for this entity called the Church of the Living God with Christ as the head. We can intercede saying, oh God, use us as best possible. That's all you can do. If you ever, if we're sitting and having coffee one day and you say, have you ever made a mistake? I'll be glad to tell you, I made plenty of them. But I could turn right around and say, have you ever made a mistake? Because see, your role in the church is just as important as mine. Isn't that amazing? Just because I'm up front, sometimes people think, oh, you're so important. It's your church. You know how many people have told me that? Your church? I just want to go, don't say that. It's not that way. It's our church. This is God's church. It's a divine assembly. He's the head. I'm just putting my hat in the ring and becoming what He has called me to be. That's all I'm trying to do. I want you to do the same thing. I want you to put your hat in the ring. I want you to say, I abandon all of myself, and I want to abandon myself to all of Christ, which His church is the entity He's called us to be a part of. He is the head, we are the body. And unity must be there, or the body, you know, an arm can't go to West Virginia and the other arm go to California. We all got to go together to one of them, right? I mean, we got to go together. This is what it's about. He is the head of the church. So His power, just based on all of this, there's a lot more. We've seen through the scripture where people, amazing things have happened, and too many times we equate power only to that kind of thing. And this is the reason I'm bringing this up. There's power in His name. There's power to heal. There's power to transform. There's the power of salvation. There's all sorts of stuff. But right here, there is an amazing lineup, if you will, of His unmatched power. Nothing can hold a candle to the dunamis power of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Nothing. The second thing I want to notice is His power is for our use. Seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Christ, I believe in with all my heart that Christ sits above. In other words, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. All, and He says this in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now listen, wait, what was the first brushstroke? In Christ, in Christ. Christ sits above. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, if I am in Christ, there must be something with that. Does something come with that? If I'm in Christ, It has to. How could you be in Christ and not have what Christ has? You with me? Secondly, we are one with Christ, for we are members of His body. Listen, members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Wow. If somebody said, hey, we are one in flesh and body and in bones, what does that say? We're pretty linked together. You know? In today's terms, we might say, you know, we're flesh, bone, and DNA. And we're all, I mean, meaning that we are of Him. And if we are of His body, His flesh, and His bone, then it must follow that what He possesses, I can engage. See? Now, I don't like to use the phrase that it's mine, because it's not. It's His. However, He's put it in other words, if I'm in Him, I can engage that power. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? And I'm trying to make a slight distinction, because the Bible says, the Bible says in verse 19, the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. The whole idea is we're in Christ, first brushstroke, and His power is on display. If it was my power, all of a sudden my power becomes on display. I don't think that's what God had in mind. He wants His power on display through you. So if I'm in Christ, His power, I can engage that power and it becomes His power on display in me. I'm just making a distinction here. Okay? And not only that, it's not only for our use, but lastly, His power will be seen through us. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Wow. All in all. The Bible gives us a command. I want you to follow this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His, you could use the word power of His might, strength, whatever you need right there, because that's all engaging. I mean, if I'm in Christ, I can engage every bit of that power, which covers so much, and it's amazing. That's what I love about it. There should be no such thing as depression in the body of Christ. Now, I know it exists, and it happens because we are human beings, and we struggle, but that's not what I'm calling us to. I don't want to call us to struggle. I want us to call us to be set free. Listen, we should be strong in the dunamis of Jesus Christ Himself, His power, His might, His strength every day. We have to be called to that. Because if we're not seeing this command on a regular basis, our lives can degrade into something that it wasn't meant to be at all. Our countenance you can walk up and no one will see anything on display except, are you miserable? You okay? Everything all right? You okay? See, when we show up with the power of God on display, everybody says, wow, you must be having a great day. Why wouldn't we be having a great day? Because in Christ, I've been set free. I have a whole new future. Not even counting so much other things that we could look at. But I'm trying to stay real focused on this particular topic. So the command is finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then the engaging is this. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, wow. The command is to engage it. And I mean, the command itself is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The way we engage it is right here. In other words, I've been crucified with Christ. I yield. I get out of the way. I say, my personal is not what's important. It's all about Christ. And when I do that, all of a sudden I start engaging the power, the dunamis of God. That first stroke is there. I mean, think about this. If I will just get a hold of this as Paul did, and he goes, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm dead. I personally am dead. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In other words, I'm in Christ. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, we need that unmatched power at all times. But many times we don't seem to live that way. And if you ask the question why, I think we just are missing the mark on engaging His power. This statement right here, this verse. We're missing that mark. If you feel weak and down and whatever today, this is the thing that you want to do because His power should be seen through you. In other words, if Jesus Christ doesn't make a difference, something's wrong. You know what I mean? See, here's the problem. This happens a lot, and I see it a lot, because people can feel as though they can handle things. Yeah. We get there all the time. And why do we get there? We have an overconfidence in who we are. And you know what? That's fostered by Satan himself. Because he knows if he can get you overconfident in who you are, guess what? You're going to fail. You're going to fall. It's going to be wrong, man. It's going to be incredibly wrong. Things are not going to go like you thought. And you're going to, before you know it, you're going to be in a deep end where you can't hardly swim. It's tough. See, overconfidence is nothing but pride. It's the pride of life. And it is a challenge. See, here's how we think, oh man, I'm a smart person. I'm a college grad, right? Loads of resolve. I can do it. I can do it. Come on, bring it on now. You know, I had one person tell me, I was talking to them, and we were building this building, and I said, I'm so sorry for so much coming at you at one time. He said, Pastor, don't worry about it. You just bring it on. The more it comes, the better I get. I'm going, holy cow. That's not something I want to say. I know what he meant by it. And he wasn't trying to be boastful. But the seed of that is dangerous, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? Because there's so much resolve and all that, so much overconfidence and all that. And we think we know how to solve problems. You might even be called a problem solver. Oh man, I love the way you solve problems. Wrong. I love the way God gives you ideas to solve problems and the Holy Spirit leads you so that you can solve problems. I love that in you. I love that gift you have. That's what we're talking about. We got to keep it focused where it belongs. Where does it belong? It always belongs in Christ. Nothing less. See, we think we can overcome obstacles. We can endure hardships. The bottom line is we try to handle our problems with our own strength, and Satan will find you. And when he does, he'll find the chink in the armor. And when he does, he's going to do his best to pierce us with even a deeper problem of the same type that we are thinking we're strong enough to handle. Let me tell you something. We are no match for Satan in ourselves. Now, understand this. In ourselves, we're no match for Satan. Who are we in Christ? We're able to defeat. We're able to stomp. We're able to kick. We're able to run out. We can cast out. We can say, you have no place here. Listen, we have authority and control over the devil in our lives when we're in Christ and His power is on display. That's the truth. But if I am overconfident, Pride is sapping me of this engaging of the power, the dunamis of God. And therefore, Satan has a chink in the armor and he comes at you. Because the only way to really resist the devil is to engage in God's power. Now, listen. I want you to engage in God's power. I want you to go home and say, I've been crucified with Christ. If you don't get anything else out of this message, get that. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. No longer will I allow depression to get upon me. No longer will I hold grudges. No longer will I try to hurt people and get back at people and backstab them, front stab them, or whatever, whatever, whatever. My point is, I will trust in the Lord. And I will trust that He will take care of me. I will be strong in Him. The power will be engaged. His power in me. I love this. You know what? The day that the revelation that came to me, I remember my wife and I were walking down the hallway of a church one Sunday night, just been in a Bible study. We didn't know hardly anything about God. And we were in a Bible study. It was called Touch of the Spirit. And we found out that the Holy Spirit came to live in us. And when I remember us walking down that hallway, I said, man, Bonnie, I'm so glad I don't have to do this by myself. You know, I'm so glad God lives in me and speaking to me and teaching me. I didn't know because I hadn't even engaged. I didn't even know anything about it. But finally, somebody taught the Word of God. And the touch of the Spirit changed my life forever. I began to listen for His voice. I began to operate in dunamis power without it being my power, but it was His power. And my life has never been the same because of it. And that's the way it should happen, isn't it? See, when we become in Christ and His power is on display, there's nothing should ever be the same. So it just leads me to this question, where are you? Is your life changing for Christ? Because first, the greatest evidence of dunamis, His power, is a life that's changing for Christ. Can you say, yes, I agree with that? See, that can be the greatest thing that people can see. When a drug addict completely turns and goes a whole different way, that's a change. People go, whoa, what happened to you? You know, when an abusive spouse or parents or whatever change and go a whole different direction and leave that behind. But something is different. A life change for Christ is dunamis power, exercised in a powerful way. And when we engage in God's power, our lives will grow and deepen and develop in Christ. There will be a consistent, ongoing, what? Change that happens. I look back at some of you young whippersnappers, and I wish I'd have started at your age. You know, I was stupid and waited till later in life. I was stupid. And I want to encourage you, at your young, wonderful age, not only accept Jesus and be in Christ, but also allow His power to be on display for you. Man, what? Listen, from the day, let's say you're 18 years old right now. From that day right today, or maybe you're 12, 7, whatever. From that day until you're 30 years old, how much could you learn and change in that period of time? How much could God prepare you for what to come? Listen, let me tell you something. Not that He can't use you now, He will. But my point is that I just now, I've gotten to a point, I feel like I'm useful. You know, I feel like I have something to give. I feel like I have something to say. I feel like I have something to write down for all of history, that somebody, someday, I'll be dead and gone, will get one of my books and read that book, and guess what? They will be transformed from the inside out. I feel like I just getting to that point today. And all of those years prior to when I came to Christ were wasted. They almost killed me. But once I came to Him, change started happening. And this is the testimony of the dunamis, the power of God in us. This change should be happening. The second thing is this. Don't fear your weakness. I know that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Don't fear your weakness. Because in weakness, we shall see His power the most, as long as we stay engaged. See, if we don't let the weakness define us, but the weakness we realize and we stay engaged in Him and His power's on display, guess what? Paul even goes so far as to say this. He had a thorn in the flesh causing him to grow in his ability to engage God's power. In other words, he had a problem, he had an issue, he had a situation, he had a weakness. He had something that was causing him to dig deeper in God. And to cause him to, he boasted about that weakness, knowing that in those weaknesses, God's power is on display more. Don't be fearful of weakness. Just allow it to drive you to engage more in the power of God. Amen? The greater our acknowledgement, or if you will, the greater our acknowledged weakness, the more engaged in the power of Christ we should become. So weakness, therefore, drives us to the power of God. Woo! Man, you got to call that good. See, the human weakness we have, the struggles that we have, it should drive us even more into the engaging in the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And out of that will come more and more change. So, do you feel inadequate right now, today? You feel very inadequate in some area of your life? Do you feel weak in some area of your life? Are you humbled by your circumstances? If so, and you will remain in Christ, listen, you're well on your way to engaging God's power and a life that can be lived in victory. I thought somebody would say hallelujah. Come on. How many want to live in victory? Come on. Victory. Right here. See, we have the victory. We got to live in the victory. You with me? Christ conquered death. Christ conquered the devil. Christ conquered everything that we fear or struggle with in our lives. And so we can live in the victory. But we have to engage that power of Christ. It doesn't change the fact that He won it. He won it no matter what. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't even matter. That doesn't make any difference. I say, Christ won the victory. He died on a cross. I don't see how that's victory. Well, that's because you're blind. You don't know. You can't see. But I'm here to tell you, that victory is my victory because I am in Christ Jesus my Lord. All authority has been given to Him. And guess what? Since I'm in Christ, all authority is there for me to engage. He has the power and all of His power is there for me to engage. My friend, we can walk in victory and in power and in authority in this very life through Him. That's what we can do. And God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son all confirm everything that I'm saying today. Everything. And when God breathed that life into us, we were talking earlier, that dirt bag. That just came to me. It has to be something from God, you know, I'm just saying. That dirt bag, it was laying there. You know what I mean? Okay? And God bent down. I love this part because He spoke all the rest of the world into place. Right? God spoke the rest of the world into place. And then when it came to man, the Bible says he formed from dust man, and there he is laying there, an unliving soul. And then the Bible says that he breathed life into him. Now, whenever you, if you get close enough to someone's lips and you go, they'll feel moisture that will pass in the air. And when moisture passes in the air, what's in the moisture? Yes. What else? Now think about this. I'm really asking you to think deeply. Dr. Cheryl, what else is in that moisture? Well, it could be germs, but God's holy. He don't have no germs, girl. DNA. Woo! Glory. When God created man, he intended man to be sinless, not sinful. And so when he breathed life into his soul, he got personally involved, and his breath went in to give us, our lungs, breath, and his DNA passed in the moisture from him to us. Because we were made in the likeness of our God. Now think about that. His DNA went into Adam. And Adam walked in the cool of the day with his God. And he could enjoy him. He could fellowship with him. He could enjoy the moment of being with God without sin. Adam experienced it. Wow. So our God that breathed life in and breathed DNA into who we were, even though we have sinned, yet we have sinned. We fall short of the glory of God. We do. But he said, you know what? In Christ. Picks up the brush again. The power, my power on display, will be in my people. How many times did you see in the Old Testament God's power on display with the children of Israel? Over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, this is a pattern of God. He wants to be on display in your life. I don't know what your Red Sea is where the waters part, but God wants to be a part of that, and he wants to do it. It happens all the time. We just don't see it the way it's happening. I just want to say that you can be sure of this now. Get a hold of this. I really want you to hear it. Say it with me. God is on our side. Okay, let's say it again. God is on our side. Let's say it one more time. God is on our side. He's not against you. He's for you. Not only that, God's power is never broken. You may feel broken. You may feel weary. You may feel downtrodden. You may feel depressed. You may feel as though you've been abandoned. But guess what? No matter how you feel, God's power is never, ever broken, ever. It's always there for you to engage and to walk out of where you are. And God is always fighting against the forces of evil for us. Wow. This is how he puts his power on display through us, in us, for us, but it's not limited to just us. He's working for us outside of the realm of your heart and what you're doing. God is at work for us. The Bible says he never leaves or forsakes us. Guess what? God is always fighting against the forces of evil for us. Because of this, nothing can overcome my God's power. And I'm going to give you a verse that I think kind of sums it all up. Woo! Come on. You got to be excited about this. Nothing can overcome my God's power. Because I guarantee you the devil's trying to make you believe that he can overcome anything God's Word says. He said, that's not true. That's not true. And what do? Sometimes we believe the lie. And it is nothing but a lie. He is the father of liars. Satan is. Nothing can overcome my God, say it, power. Watch. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's for you. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, listen, God, the Holy Spirit Himself. Does it take your breath away? Intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts know what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justifies, He also glorifies. All by the power of God. In this amazing portrait I'm trying to paint for you through the Holy Spirit, is the first stroke is in Christ. You know what? I think His only paint color is the blood of Jesus. So He dips it in the blood and goes in Christ and everything. It's just amazing what happens. Now think about it. It's like the comet going across the sky. It can only be one color, isn't it? It's just one color. You just see, all right, yeah, I saw that, yeah. Oh, guess what? The eclipse of the sun, if you've seen one, you've seen them all, you know? I mean, you know, they're all the same, just about. I mean, in a sense of, they look the same, right? But not with the blood of Christ. He dips it, brushes His blood. Because, you know what? I want to say this because it's just right now in the moment, just in the moment, I want to say this. When Jesus Christ first arose and Mary finds Him and she's at His feet, He said, don't touch me because I haven't yet ascended to the Father. You remember that? In the garden? Why in the world would He say that? Because the sacrifice had to be the holy blood. And the Bible teaches us that in the Holy of Holies, the high priest would come and pour the blood on the altar, and it would be on the top. And then God would come and consume it all. This is just me. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. This is my idea. Can I qualify it that way? I just want to say, I think Christ went to the Holy of Holies, God the Father, the throne room, and poured out His holy blood on the altar, and the Lord consumed it. Then He comes back and shows Himself to everybody. Then He says, Thomas, put your hand right here. Put your hand right here. See, He didn't want even sinful man in any way touching Him until that act had happened. Wow. The power of God, the intricacy of God, how God operates is staggering to the mind. Now I want to get off of what I think and I want to go back to this. In Christ. Look at the array of colors. One color He's using, the blood of Christ. And look at what all's come out of it. There's a Graham and there's a, you know, Owat. There's a Pat. All of you are an array of rainbow colors that just come together in the body of Christ, all because He says, be in Christ. And then He says, His power on display. The only real question is will we take what Paul says and allow us to engage that power every day? See, it's not how loud we can scream it out. We can't even hold our breath long enough to feel as though we really, I got this power, I'm getting this
power right now.
It's not that. It's not go get the... We do need to know His Word. We do need to love God. We do need to understand the Holy Spirit lives in me and has brought gifts and He's brought and He wants to see fruit out of me. We need to know all those things. But my friend, when we talk about engaging the power of God, the very first step is die and get out of the way. And the more you do that, the more power, dunamis, you're going to experience in your life. Let's pray about it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give You praise, we give You glory, we thank You for this opportunity to come together. I pray that in this sermon, we can see the two first brushstrokes of this amazing portrait coming together. And I pray, Father, that You will move our hearts to be like the Scripture talks about. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. May I access all of Your power in my life every day, and that may people all around me, but even myself, I will see Your power on display in me. This is our heart. This is our desire. It is. We want it to be Your will for us, and we believe it is. Help us to go today and walk engaged in Your power. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.